Good morning. Trust you had a good Thanksgiving, and hopefully that will continue through the rest of the year. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come again and to share with you. I was here November 2nd and presented the ministry and EPIC and a little more detail in what I'm going to do here. Dick said something last week that's up there. Are you bringing the world to the church or the church to the world? I turned into the question and turned the question on myself. And began to ask myself, what am I doing with, you know, what have I been doing the past 30 years and where am I going with it? So this morning, I want to kind of present a vision that I've had for probably 10 years or so, and I've been working on it the past 2 years. And this would be the first time I publicly kind of present it. So it'll be a little rough, but it's there. I remember a presentation we did, I think it was in Georgia someplace, many years ago. It was a Christian school, and a fourth grade boy stood up at the end of it in our question answer kind of interaction time at the end. And he said, why do you guys always do the same old story? And we presented the gospel, did a long program, presented creation and crucifixion, some contemporary stuff together. And I thought to myself, not then, but now thinking back on it, you know, that's the beginning of the slide that Dick was talking about. That's the beginning of, you know, so what? I mean, big deal. Who cares? And as I was reading last week, he mentioned Hosea and Gomer. And I've been studying that. I went back to, because we're in Nahum, I went back to Hosea. And I'm reading kind of through there, catching up to Nahum and going through the minor prophets there. And I realized when he was talking that, as I was sitting there listening to Dick teaching, the world was in me thinking, you know, because it was kind of insightful. I mean, it was insightful and moving me to action, but also about what's out there in the world, what's going on and what needs to be done. So I started thinking about that, this question, are you bringing the world to the church or the church to the world? And I think what I have to say today or what I want to present is in line with that in a practical sense, not a biblical teaching kind of way, but a practical sense. But I do want to read this to begin with, and you've heard it before, but I want to read it again. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth to confess, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So I, you know, think of your life. I think of mine. This question made me think about what I've been doing the past 30 years with EPIC in ministry. And think of a time where you've purposely shared the gospel with somebody, went out of your way to maybe give them something. That's us right there. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's you. Anytime you've shared the gospel. I brought two things. They're up here at the end of the class if anybody wants to take one. A couple of things we've used. One, I talked about the salvation poem. I've got a number of those if you want to see an example of it. I talked about it last time I was here and how we're using this little card like a credit card. This is a different version of it. It's not as credit card-ish. but it's a little salvation poem, and it's for a person who's come to know the Lord, has prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And I call it where you drive a stake down the ground and you say, on this date, at this time, I did this. And that's what this card represents. But on the back of it, it's got a website that we're going to change into a website where people that come to know the Lord through the ministry, especially in Central America, Central South America, they can go and get discipleship materials in their own language on that. So we're developing that card right now and hopefully be able to use it on the OCA trip next year. And then the Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. I've used this a number of times, either with the book or apart from it. I especially like the picture here. I've done this in the sand on beaches and on napkins in restaurants and everything. But this little picture here where it talks about all the different ways people are trying to come to the Lord. But there's a big chasm between, and the only thing that really does that as you turn the page is the cross. And that being, you know, accepting what Jesus did for us and payment of our sin on the cross. So I like that, and I thought about all these different reasons, and I thought about this presentation, and good works is one of them. And I think we can use any opportunity, any of those things, to bridge that gap to talk about the gospel with people. So anyway, are you bringing the world to the church or the church to the world? Is kind of what got me thinking this past week about all this. Epic Ministries is the mission that I direct, and I've been working in the past 30 years. I kind of came up through it as a performer, as a team leader, as a staff member, and then a director. I started directing in 1990. I've been doing that since then. I left teaching in 95 to focus on using the tool to do outreach work locally, nationally, and overseas. Epic is each person personally in Christ. So it's all about the individual. Individuals coming to know the Lord, individuals being discipled in their faith and growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission statement, I'm not going to read it through. It's up there, but the yellow highlighted words, it's about outreach. It's about education. I found that in reading Hosea and Nahum, the thing that keeps coming up is they don't know. They don't understand. They don't get it. Knowledge, about knowing. So I think education it's not an end-all, but it's part of it. You know, people need to know who the Lord is. They need to know about his character. They need to know what he's done in the past, what he's done now, what he's doing in the future. And it's about national, international evangelistic outreach. And what I'm introducing today, too, it's about initiating character education programs in public schools or any school. So that's a work that we're going to get into, and I'm going to share that with you today. The Gospel in Mime is a tool that we've been using all these years, and it allows us to get in and out of all sorts of places to share the gospel. And you'd laugh if I told you all the places I've performed on, including tops of picnic tables in Australia, many different scenarios and circumstances that we've been in. It involves extensive training in the use of the performing art of mime. We have a curriculum of about 400 hours, 200 hours of that is technical training, 200 hours is material. 60 plus different sketches set to musical soundtracks. That's a lot of material. And we're working on more material for the character education stuff. It's nonverbal communication. It involves a lot of visual presentation. Any age, it's designed to be used as a discipleship tool, any setting. It's easy to transport, requires limited setup, and it's very flexible to use. Any culture, it bridges language and cultural barriers while engaging and entertaining people. I've seen it attract people like a magnet. It's fun to watch when you go out, especially in the public, and you start in, and there's not too many people around, and then suddenly there's about 25, 50, 100, a couple hundred people gathering. So it's a great tool to use publicly. We have five areas of ministry, and it really shows how we've developed over the years, too. The first one is local and full-time mime ministry teams. We started with a local ministry team and then got into a full-time team. And then our work went from local to national and international mime presentations. And then we started short-term training projects where we train other groups to do what we do for a short, specific period of time. We outfit them, we train them. When they come back, it's done. But then that led us into the fourth one, developing fully functional state and national mime crews. As I mentioned in November 2nd, we have a group in Bulgaria, two teams in Guatemala. We're starting to go into Ukraine to develop two teams. So we're doing that, and that's about a two-year process for each team. And then we do technical training. We have a technical training curriculum that we like to market to colleges and high schools, and we also teach it in when we're given opportunities to do that. I did that with Hope Academy down in South Minneapolis about a couple years ago. And the sixth area, and I think the final area that EPIC's going to get into, is this character education initiative. That's what I've been calling it. And that's kind of what I've been working on the past couple of years, trying to frame in. So why character education? I taught for 15 years, like I said before, going into mission work full-time. I had that experience. And I knew that when I left teaching, I was probably going to bring this tool back into the school somehow, some way. I just had that feeling when I left, but I didn't know really how I was going to do that. You know, we've used this tool in schools all these years, in 83 schools in Australia, schools in Australia, schools in Costa Rica, schools in Guatemala, schools in Bulgaria, schools in Kosovo, all over the place. But we don't use it here in the United States because we're not supposed to. So just to kind of answer this question, why two, in a more practical way, this is a schedule for next year, and we have a full-time team going. They're on the road, and they're scheduling. Well, typically, they'll do something on a Wednesday night. They'll do something possibly on a Friday night youth event. They might do something on a Saturday night youth event. They'll do something Sunday a.m. and p.m. for services. Typically, that's how the church operates. There's Wednesday, Sunday, maybe Thursday, Friday youth. But Monday, Tuesday, you know, Thursday, not too much going on. So another place we also minister is in college campuses, and that can vary, usually evening presentations, things like that. But once we add this idea of going into the public schools or any school, we suddenly kind of have a full schedule. Teams no longer just kind of laying around waiting for, you know, what are we going to do on Wednesday or what are we going to do on Sunday, but they're engaged all through the week, trying to get the synergy going towards what they're doing in the public schools. So the idea would be for a team to be working in a certain area, let's say Minneapolis, because that's where we want to start. And they have a school presentation on a Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or maybe all those days, maybe the same district, different schools, maybe the same school, two different days, two different presentations. Just combination of whatever might be. But the idea is that team is busy and they're active and they're doing a lot more than they would be doing if they were just engaged without the character education stuff. It's also a revenue stream for the organization. We're always looking for dollars to do what we do. We're always raising support. I'm always, you know, raising funds for going here and there to train. So this gives us a pretty solid revenue stream when we engage in it. So the Character Education Initiative is kind of, I think of it this way. I think of pillars as being character qualities. I think of a house being an individual. And those character qualities are pillars supporting and foundational for that individual. But the question is, what kind of character qualities do you develop? What kind of character qualities do you focus on? Well, for me, I'd love kind of this one. It's more of a one that reflects me as a person, built on the steps of faith, love, and hope. It involves humility, integrity, stewardship, discipline, courage, passion, perseverance. Those are all biblical qualities, character qualities. There's an organization called Character Counts. It emphasizes six pillars of character: trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and citizenship. Those are pretty universal throughout the world. You could probably do those any place and do something good with them. There's an organization that we'd like to develop a partnership called Character Education Partnership, CEP. And they're kind of leading a national call to character development in this country, but they also have an international influence. They have these 11 principles of character education that you can take, and you can kind of, any school could take them for free and assess how they're doing with in the area of character development. And then they have these promising practices that schools do. There's awards for these things. There's national schools of characters that they run too. Again, it's an award for a school that's developing character and is known for that. I substitute teach in the Buffalo School District, and I go through K through 12. This week I'll be teaching kindergarten first next week. That's always a stretch for me. That's the hardest grade to teach in any district, I'm convinced, because they're just always at you. But I'll be in there. But I was in the Central Middle School a lot. And one year they changed principals. And the principal brought in some character education stuff. And I noticed that year, going in as a sub, a complete difference in the attitude of the students. It was more respectful. It was more compassionate. They were more attentive. It was distinct. I mean, it was a real difference. And I mentioned it to him, and I commended him for it. He was really grateful for that. But it was noticeable, and the thing was, the difference was, they were talking about kids' character and what it meant in that environment. So what we want to do is we plan to run EPIC, Each Person Progressing in Character, EPPIC, alongside but separate from EPIC, Each Person Personally in Christ, EPPIC. So one mind ministry crew trained to engage in both of those venues, in the public school or private or parochial, and in churches and evangelistic events and outreach events. They'll be able to do both sets of material. We have gone into public schools and shared the gospel before. We did it in Ohio. We did it in Texas, and very successfully. And it's because the mindset of the community says it's okay. So if a principal knows that the community is bent that way, they can do that. And we've done that. We did it in high school, got a standing ovation from the student body, which surprised me, but it was delightful. So we've done that. We know it can be done, but it's not the norm. The closer you get to a Minneapolis-St. Paul type of area, metropolitan area, the harder that is to do. The farther away you get from a metro area, the more likelihood is that it could happen. So that team would be prepared to do that, and we would prefer to do that. But in the event we can't, then this is another option. It gives us to go into schools and do a good work. And a good work leads to opportunities to share the good news. So that's the whole kind of premise behind this. Although we want to go in with a reputation of being a solid organization, Christian, yes, but they do a great public school presentation on character. We want that reputation. We don't want to be known as, well, this group is just trying to come in there so they can try to get avenues to share the gospel. Yeah, we're going to do that, but it's going to be appropriate. It's going to be in a way that's acceptable in our culture. And when we do it, it'll be done with the same tool, which is kind of the segue from one to the other, talking about individual character, talking about God's character, using mime as a vehicle to communicate. So when I think about it, when I talk to people, I get nothing but good response from people about it. And as I think about it, I'm excited to engage in it, but it's a ton of work. It's going to be a ton of work. And that's why I'm just now starting to kind of put it out there. It is a business opportunity. We want to go to foundations and present this as a business opportunity for them to support. And we think there's a lot of dollars out there to support this. It would be the first time in EPIC's history that we've ever salaried a team. I can't do this work on a part-time team or a volunteer team. They have to be full-time, and I prefer that they be salaried so that they're committed to what we're doing anywhere from 1 to 5 years length of time. And the idea is to have 5 teams up and running in 5 years, 1 team coming online each year to do this work. So that's a ton of work, to say the least. So EPIC, Each Person Progressing in Character, inspiring the individual to make pivotal life choices that positively affect personal character. You know, that statement right there can be used in any setting. It can be used in the church about coming to know the Lord. It can be used in the school about making decisions about your own character. So I was looking for how to present this in a way that doesn't take away from who I am and what we do, but at the same time works in a public setting. So it's, you know, it takes some doing, and I'm still working on it, but I like that. So it involves partnerships and schools all towards character development. And we are a Minnesota-based nonprofit with a local, national, and international influence. That's how we have been working. That's how we do work. And we have things up and running that are doing that. The problem is the lack of focus on character development. I'm not going to read through all those up there, but there's always 3 focuses in school. It's academics, it's sports, it's the arts. I think the focus should be on character development to influence the academics, the arts, and sports. So the three big are out there, and we don't talk about character. And if we do, it's kind of come see, come saw, here, a little there. But it's not a focus, and it really should be. I don't know why it isn't. I don't know why it would be such a leap to really talk about that. And it might be because it's hard to decide, well, what do you focus on, what character qualities do you want to develop? But the answer to that is any community, every community is different. Every school environment is different. The character qualities that they decide to emphasize should be a reflection of that culture's environment and those parents and those people and those teachers and that state. So it is going to change. It's not going to be ideally what I would want it to be, but they're going to change. And EPIC is a great tool to use that because we have a real flexibility in developing things that reflect whatever character quality they would want to emphasize. We would come in with a program set on maybe 6, 7, 8, 10 character qualities, to have kind of a semblance of what we're going to do from one building to another. But we could change that too pretty easily. But the problem is, like as a teacher, I see a lot of character issues are treated as behavioral problems. So in a classroom, a kid acts out. Well, I can send them to the principal, and that's dealing with the behavior. Or I can on the side talk to them about character. And I've done this in schools, and kids seem to appreciate it. They like being talked at like that better than sent down to the principal or something. But, I've done a lot of that. I've been kind of playing with this whole idea as I've been teaching and stuff like that and thinking about my 15 years of teaching. Bullying. The whole emphasis in this nation now on bullying, that's like an issue at the top of this table. It's on the top, you see it. But underneath it are the character issues that we're not addressing. So the schools are pretty good at identifying things that are problem areas, but they're not very good at identifying the underlying causes of them. So, and I really believe that those character issues that are there are under all those problems that we face in the schools that I know as a teacher that I face. So I'd like to be... a group that at least tries to help initiate character development or character education initiatives in public schools at a building level. When I look at a state map from CEP, Character Education Partnership, you can click on these states and it says some states are mandated, they mandate character development. Some states don't at all. Some states say they support it, but they're not legislating it. So there's a whole mixture of what's going on in our nation about it. So the opportunity is any school. EPIC's in a position to take advantage of the opportunity. Markets K-12 schools worldwide. We have a unique business model in that we're using MIME to do that. I've never, ever seen a MIME team in a public school. I've seen a MIME, one guy here and there, come in and do something, but I've never seen a team coordinated like ours in the schools. We plan to kind of do a preview, present, process, and plan type of approach where we're previewing what is the school doing. We come in, do a presentation. The process is we help do things for classroom teachers and the school in developing a character education initiative. We want to try to connect them with CEP so they can do a more comprehensive character education thing. And then plan, how are we going to go about maintaining a relationship with that school to the point that they have that up and running and then we're not so much working with them anymore other than maybe coming back and do another program. And then we have people in place, myself with the teaching experience. We're also recruiting other people that have character education experience and some other areas of expertise. I'll show you that in a minute. So our target markets, initially we want to pilot this in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and then let it kind of grow out to the Minnesota, greater Minnesota area, and then 5-state, and then bring it national, and then engage in things internationally if that comes up. But our focus is more national and doing this within our own country. We've always been doing things in different countries and schools because we're allowed, but this country we're not. So I think the focus is going to be on the states and keeping it within the states to really do a good job or the best job that we can. The concept is character or character development initiatives at the building level with business and community involvement. So all these K through 12 schools, local business partners, local community partners, if we have a presentation at a church in, let's say, my place, Corcoran, we'll go into Corcoran, we'll see what the school has going on, then we'll go out from there to businesses around the area, ask them to support this presentation and get involved. Say we're going to advertise their name and stuff within any publications about it. We'll go to community groups, churches, synagogues, mosques, whatever, and talk to them about supporting the idea of the character initiative in the school. So it's all based in the community. It's all us kind of talking to people and trying to get some synergy going around that. The businesses hopefully will help alleviate costs that the schools would be faced to pay for us to come in to do a presentation. That would probably be about $750. We're always at about $500 when we're doing presentations, and there's monies involved in it. But that's been there for years and years and years, so $750 is probably more like it, and that's still probably on the very cheap side of things compared to what's going into the schools these days and what they're paying for. So in all this, we want to get students, parents, administration staff, and teachers, business owners involved in it, because that's what makes a character education program work. If one of the partners doesn't identify their importance in it, it tends not to work as well. But when everybody's buying into it, the students are hearing the same message from all these different places, and they start to get it. And that's what makes it really fly. So we need to, if we're going to come in and do something, we want to do all that we can to help facilitate that kind of activity going on. And we want everybody has to buy into that kind of character education initiative in order for it to work. If just the school is putting it on the students aren't buying into it, it's not going to work. So I've seen it work in Central Middle School in Buffalo, and it's working. And it's because everybody's kind of bought into it. And they do buy into it because it makes sense. It feels good. Creates a safer environment. A lot of positive things happen when you start talking about character development. So schools, EPIC, we plan to give character education presentations at school assemblies. That would be our kickoff type of thing. Our goals are to provide visual presentation of positive character qualities, pass out character posters, initiate characterfinder.org assessment process. That's a website that we kind of like, what's the Strength Finder? You're familiar with that? Strengthfinder.org, I think, is a place you can go to kind of identify your strengths. This would be along that same line except with character qualities. And then interact with school, business, and community populations. Connect with CEP. That's the organization that I talked about. Want to go to the schools, for the schools, local businesses. Draw local businesses into the character education initiative as a character development partner. And then we have certain things that the businesses can be doing or would be doing. One of those is providing speakers to come into classrooms and schools to talk about what they're looking for in their employees with respect to character. And the school would kind of vet that person coming in. I've been in the schools and people have come in and talked, and I've been in the back of a classroom just going, oh my goodness, you know, with that person talking up there, and for one reason or another. So it's important that the schools kind of vet a person coming in so that they know what that person is all about, kind of know what they're going to be saying. Then community partners, too, to engage local community partners into the character education initiative as a character development partner. That would be churches. That would be other organizations, not businesses. That would be synagogues. That would be mosques. It would be talking to people about what's going on in that school and getting their support in it, and all these within the community. So how does it make money? How does the initiative make money? Different sources are foundations. For the first 5 years, we're going to be going to get monies to pull this off and to do it. Business community, K through 12 schools, and school community. Again, school community would be community organizations. Churches would be one of those and stuff. And there's different other things related to that, but basically those would be the sources of revenue and income that would be coming in for EPIC as we do this and for the whole initiative. So the team, I just put this up here. Board members, I'm looking to put four board members together beginning January this year. Advisory board of seven, a staff of eight, a ministry crew of 12. That's two teams of six. If we just had a team of six, one person gets sick, well, we're kind of at a standstill then. So we're gonna always have two teams coming, being trained. When something goes wrong, we have other people to stand in place. When I develop national teams overseas, I say you need to begin with a group of 10. The reason for that is because if three drop out, you still have seven, and you need about six. You can do things with five. With four, it's very difficult. So that gives some flexibility with the numbers. And then a support team of seven. So there's a few people in place for this already, but a lot of that has to happen with as foundation monies come in for this idea, because then it's a little easier to recruit when you can tell somebody you can pay them than it is, oh, come and raise your own support. You know, we've been doing that for years. People do that. Happens all the time, but there's also a culture out there now, this age, that they're just not into that. They want to work. They want to earn some money doing what they do. Christina, my daughter, is kind of like that, you know, and that's a reflection of what's going on out there. So, you know, the foundation monies are, I think they're there. I think with the right stuff in place to present to them and to foundations that it'll work. So in summary, we're doing pretty good here. Leveraging the performing art of pantomime to develop character in individuals. So on our side, it's good character, and past that, and then more than that, it's godly character. We want to create opportunities on this side to bring people into another setting for another presentation that's going to expose them to godly characters or to God's character. And that's what EPIC does best. So community partnerships, EPIC, K-12 schools, any school in any community. So we're going to do a question and answer time here, or question time, or response time. I really appreciate your feedback on this whole idea. We're going to do that in a second here. So how can you be involved? In EPIC, we say actions speak louder, because we don't talk, we act. And short-term investment, next 12 months. Long-term investment, 1 to 5 years. Becoming a sponsoring partner. Board of directors, advisory board opportunities, volunteer your time and expertise. As far as the board goes and the oversight, board of directors, I'm serving right now as EPIC's president on the board. We have a vice president, Terry Prindle, who's moving from there to the advisory board in area and community engagement. That's been his forte in business with JCPenney and Target and stuff like that. So he's going to move to the advisory board. We're looking to put together people. I have a person that I know that's a lawyer. She's a copyright lawyer, and she's helping us right now. Their firm is helping us. We pay for, you know, expense things, but they do it not pro bono. And we're working on something with a trademark with EPIC now with her. But I'd love to invite her onto the board, and it would be great if she would accept that and work with it. We're looking for a principal, a character education expert, probably go to CEP and see if somebody would be willing to serve on our board in that area. Business development, I have a guy I've been working with that I hope will, and I'm pretty sure he'll be on the advisory board with this too. He's been the guy I've been working on this for the past couple of years and developing the materials for, which are some promo materials, a PowerPoint presentation for a foundation, business plan, 5-year financials. So all that in place would put us at the real top of the pile of people who are going to foundations to, you know, seeking monies for what they have going on. A lot of them don't come with anything, though. So foundations are always really impressed when you have all these things in line to, and you've really thought out what you're doing. And we're getting there. We're almost there, I think. Volunteer needs, bookkeeper, probably on a volunteer basis, a few hours a week. It's not that extensive at this point. Web design and development, need some people to do that. We have a really bad website right now, epicministries.com. We only use it for people that want to give online. There's limited information on it. It's really boring and not very good, so I don't point people to it. I have people go to our Facebook page instead, because that's where kind of all the action is taking place, and you'll see what's going on in Guatemala with the teams and us here and things like that. Promotional materials, marketing materials, we need people to help develop and produce those. Costumes, we need somebody who knows how to sew, because we're finding that as we're getting out there more and more, we have to probably make our own costuming. So we need some people with expertise in seamstress, tailor, those areas. A booking agent, somebody who's going to focus on getting our team out there into the schools and booking those tours. Accommodations coordinator, we're going to have people coming in every year to train with us to be on one of these teams. So we're looking for people that would house these people for 6 months until they find their own housing moving forward after that period. So we're looking for people that would be willing to, you know, house somebody too. If you're interested in doing that, let us know. And then vehicle maintenance and repair, that's always been an issue with that, because we travel and we do so pretty extensively, especially if we have a full-time team in place. They're traveling nationally 2 weeks at a time. They're off a couple weeks. They travel another 2 weeks. They're off a couple weeks, travel another 2 weeks. So about 2 to 3 weeks on the road is all the team can really take and stay sane when they're working together. Okay. So hopefully I made some sense about what we're trying to do. But I'd really appreciate your feedback, your comments, suggestions, whatever the case may be. Yes?
From your presentation, I take it that you have two branches or two arms of your, I call it an enterprise now, because there's a ministry part arm, mm-hmm. and the other arm would be a secular character development. And one question is, how much of your energy and focus is on the character development apart from sanctification by way of Christ's change in our, change in our lives? And let's see, I would have a concern if too much focus is placed on character development apart right. from the ability of Christ, the intent of Christ to change us
yep.
In an eternal and lasting and true sense, mm-hmm. And that reaching out in that respect to convey to people that they can be good apart from the change that Christ offers, that's a concern.
Right.
Or a,
mm-hmm.
you know. And and also when you present your mime, I think of the old Greek morality plays, and basically are you trying to inspire by in the secular arm to inspire change through these morality plays where you show show a student that is an art can inspire us mm-hmm. for any reason, and then also to cultivate or generate a culture of leadership and modeling right character and behavior by this trying to get a collection of leaders and thereby generating a culture that will inspire. The whole key is to inspire children to change mm-hmm. from being bullies or disruptive behavior, from lying, stealing, cheating, all these right. behavior. You know, it sounds like you're trying to inspire and add to educators and politicians' the secular desire to change character in people within the secular yeah. school environment by inspiration by yep. and by culture.
Yeah.
Apart from the gospel, which is your true focus.
Right.
But the question is how much, like you said, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy to.
Well, it's gonna take the first 5 years are just gonna be a focus on developing this whole idea. And I'm not so concerned. I mean, we'll go into the public schools or any school and we'll do a good work on the character education initiatives. But the whole intent in this audience, I can share this, is that we want to create opportunities to where we can invite that audience and those students to another venue in which to share about God's character, which is our forte. And that's our whole intent. We're an evangelistic outreach organization. There's no doubt about that. Our whole material and everything is all bent on that. And that's how we use it. That's how we have used it. That's how we'll continue to use it. But if you remember that, let's see if I go back to this right here. Our team, a team on the road in the States, this gives them a real focus in an area to where they can be doing outreach work in public schools. Let's say that we start Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in one school district, different schools. Our word to them is what we're doing in there. But then it's, oh, by the way, on Saturday night, where that star is, we're going to be at Grace Lutheran or something, doing a presentation. You're more than welcome to come. I think that when people see what we do in the schools, they'll want to come and see what we do some other place. And when they do, that's when we'll be presenting the gospel and God's characters. And I love the segue from talking about individual personal characters to now comparing it and talking about God's character, which is really different and better. So I think that's what we're trying to do. Although I'm not out there talking to foundations saying that's what we're doing. I'm saying we're going into the public school to do character education initiatives, and we are. And I want to do that well. I don't think it's going to change a person for eternity, no. And I know that only through Christ that happens. But that's why I'm motivated then to say, by the way, we're going to be over here. And you're more than welcome to come. However that works out, it's going to be appropriate. I've learned to be appropriate. I've learned to do things in a way that people can't say you can't do that. In the public schools when I was teaching, I did a thing called Saturday School. I invited students to Forest Hills Elementary School. I rented part of the space through community ed, and I shared the gospel with them through different venues or different things and the word. Some of the kids came to know the Lord. I had a Christmas program where I first saw Epic Ministries come, and I had 45 people there, dads and daughters and sons. And I had, after watching this program, I had dads in tears, and they didn't know why. And that was all appropriate, even though the superintendent questioned me up and down, you know, one side and the other, say, how can you do that? You can't do that. You can't share your faith. You can't share the gospel. I go, yes, I can. And what's wrong with it? And they tried to find stuff wrong with it, but they couldn't because there was nothing wrong with it. I wasn't in the classroom proselytizing a kid. I was in the school. When my principal said, well, you're using your teaching position as a platform. I said, yeah. Why? What's wrong with that? Well, there isn't anything wrong with that. And he said, well, what if this person that was like this did that? And I said, would you send your kid to that? He goes, well, no. I said, well, neither would I. You know, so you just, you know, it's a matter of being wise and crafty in this world to do things like that. So, but I hear you. I understand what you're saying. And I don't ever want Epic to... Epic's not going to become a character education development organization. Epic is a Christian mission evangelistic organization, always will be. It's the beauty of it. But we're going to use that. We're going to use the tool in a way to create more opportunities and avenues for a team to, what do they call it when a SWAT team kind of breaks over a place where you breach some areas. We're going to breach a lot of areas, hopefully, in a good way. Anything else? Maybe I'm too out there. Al?
Quick question. I tend to agree with Coralie on some of the concerns. I noticed on your team org chart, CEP, I'm assuming it's a secular organization?
I would say it is, but I would think there's some people within there that are like...
Okay. You were saying you wanted to get a principal and you were going to contact them to get it. My concern is that on the character side, are you willing to accept non-Christians to be on your board or on your advisors on that group? And if so, isn't that a danger to bring it?
No, I don't think I'm going there with the advisory board or the board of directors. Those are by invitation. You know, you invite people to be on your board, and it's usually people that you know are going to contribute in a positive way, either with their finances or time or expertise. So I would assume that people on the board and people on the advisory board are believers who get this and who understand that, you know, I mean, it could come to a point where, you know, okay, we can't do this. But so far, I haven't run into that. And I just feel like it's something the Lord has kind of put on me to pursue, and I'll pursue it till I know that He says, you know, I should stop. Thanks, Al. Epic comes in. I mean, if it's a Christian school with that going, Epic comes in and does what we do. If it's a charter school, not a Christian school, and they already have that going on, we'll know that in the preview of what's going on. Yeah, we're in the process of doing that. We'll be doing more of that. So that preview time is the time. What do you have going on in the school with character development? And then we work with the principal and maybe some key teachers to, or just take a walk through the building. I can walk through a building or a classroom and I can see what's going on with character. It's pretty easy to identify. I have teachers in the Buffalo School District. There's some classrooms that are all over character, and there's some classrooms that have nothing going on with character. So you kind of get that. I mean, every teacher out there cares about kids' character. That's probably, hopefully, a given, or at least it ought to be. So, yes.
I was going to say that most schools today, throughout whatever area you're in, are hungry to have their kids have character. Mm-hmm. And character qualities that you're talking about to be taught, those are Christ character
they
qualities.
Are.
So that even though you're not coming in with a ministry trying to get the kids to convert
to
Christ, right, you in fact are teaching them who Christ is.
Mm-hmm. I agree
by
with that.
The character in which you're teaching them. So to me, that's a wonderful.
And the character of the people who are bringing it into
right,
them.
Right. Yes. And for them to see that and then to know what that character quality is, what a wonderful transition yeah. that is to accepting Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agree.
Already they have the knowledge of that those yep. character qualities.
Let me tell you something. Kids in the schools, especially public schools, are starving for the truth. They're starving because they don't hear it. They don't get it. I've had conversations with elementary students, high school students, and when we start talking about spiritual stuff, they're out. They're way out there. They're assimilating everything to figure out on their own what they ought to believe. And they're starving to hear stuff, and they're starving for the truth, and they don't know it. But when they hear it, They feel it. They get it. They want more of it. So this is something that has been inside me for years and years since I left teaching and what's going on in our schools.
Yeah, I just want to say that I support some missionaries that are in Africa, and this is one of the biggest things that they did was to build the integrity or the of the people they were ministering to. You know, there was no integrity among the leaders of the countries in Africa. Mm. And they went in there and established the integrity. And I'm sure because of their missionary organizations, Campus Crusade, they presented it with that. They can do that in Africa. But it works. It really works. And I think that to answer anybody's questions about, you've been a part of this class for years, and we can trust in your character and your relationship with the Lord to make sure that this is done right, you know, and so anybody that has concerns about that.
Well, I don't want to trust in me and my character, and that's why we have a board, an advisory board. You know, there's the oversight there, and I want that. I need that. So I think once this gets into place and people get into place and we start talking about stuff, we'll shake it out even further about really how it should be done and what we should be doing. This is, like I said, the first time I've kind of publicly presented this. I've talked to people on the side here and there, got nothing but good feedback from the idea. And I thought today would be a good time to just kind of put it out there and see what happens. Yes.
Hi, I think you're doing a great work, and the verses that I thought of for your work, 2 Corinthians 2:14, But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere.
Amen.
For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. I think
Amen.
That would be a good verse for your people to meditate on.
Write that down. 2 Corinthians 2:14
to 16.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Chris. A couple of questions. When you go into the schools, is there an age group that might benefit the most or be most open to the MIME ministry?
I'd say 4th through 12.
4th through 12.
Yeah, the younger kids are, even in Guatemala when we're doing stuff with younger kids, we don't do cards and response cards and things like that because mm-hmm. they're just, you know, they're too young. Mm-hmm. So I think that age of accountability. But 4th graders too, I mean, they're thinking, they get it. Mm-hmm. I'd say even more so probably 9th, 10th, 11th is a good real focus area because they're making decisions, they're thinking about stuff, you know. Seniors are kind of thinking about where they're going after high school and college. Real quick story, one thing that set me off on this path is I had teacher retirement funds rolled over into an account, and then I had some advice to just, you know, get a little more active with those to make some money on them. Well, it went into WorldCom. Anybody know anything about WorldCom? Because of dishonesty in the ranks, it all went south, and I lost all that. It was about $40,000. And I'm still recovering from that personally. But that's been one of the things that I've said. How can we get these guys at these higher levels educated in the best schools in the country, and they do this stuff? How does that happen? Well, my solution to preventing that is to start in K-12. Family first, that's where you learn about character best. After that, probably churches or place of religious institutions. After that, K-12 schools would be the best place to kind of implement it.
One last question, if I may. On one of the screens I saw the assessment process
mm-hmm.
that you had assessment up there. And is that at the student and or parent level? And if it is, if you could comment on that, and if there was any follow-up evaluation for the students to be able to share what they've learned.
Right. Yes, there ought to be. Problem with character education, the question over here that she had, character education is an answer to the Bible being pulled out of the schools in the 50s. Because they tried other things. They tried values clarification. They tried all this other stuff that just didn't make sense. You know, you can believe what you want, and you can believe what you want, and it really doesn't matter just as long as you believe it. Well, it does matter. And it didn't work. Teachers were left. I remember a classroom where a kid, we were talking, a counselor came in because they were having a problem in the fourth graders in the playground. You know, they're hitting each other and all this stuff. So they started talking about good behavior, bad behavior. She drew a line on the board, and she said, over here is good behavior, over here is bad behavior. Let's name some individuals, good behavior, bad behavior. Hitler, JFK, you know, all these names. And she put them on this line about good behavior, bad behavior. And one kid raised his hand and said, so how bad do you have to be before it's considered bad? Counselor could not answer that question. The reason she couldn't, and I went to her after and I told her this, the reason she couldn't answer the question is because she didn't have a standard by which to judge behavior. My standard is right here. The school standard was the Forest Hills Code of Student Conduct. That was what she should have put in that lesson. This is what determines it. But without a standard, you can't answer that question, and it's confusing. And the kid's going, well, what big deal? I can do whatever I want to do. You know, so that's important. I don't know why I shared that, but anyway, I did. Oh, yeah, the assessment. I think with the advisory board and with further focus on this. We're going to get to that, but I have some rudimentary kind of ideas how we're going to assess it. It needs to be done because the research on character development is incomplete, and it's incomplete because it's only been around since the 50s. So, you know, you have these studies that say it does help academics and environment and all that, but then you have other people say, oh, you can't focus on that because that's not substantiated. There's no scientific evidence, you know, da, da, da. So it's important that we assess what we do and we know what the results are. And we're gonna do that. We're going to be on top of that.
Sorry, I won't take away from your time. But I just want to be quick. I'm a nanny, so every day after school, I see kids that come home from school and I nanny them for, like, forever. And I see how character could affect how they interact with each other. I teach them every day about character and, like, forgiveness and treating each other properly. And it, like, really works. And they respect you when you talk to them about character because it's not punishing them, it's teaching them. And they really enjoy that. And I also just want to say that I think God has really blessed my dad in three areas, and that's evangelism and teaching and fathering. And I think that that is... I think that this is a beautiful combination of his heart and his passion, and I think it's a really great thing. So just my input.
Thanks, honey. I'm glad we talked about that before the class.
How much did you pay her before us? I have a question in reference to how do you get the businesses to come alongside and help to pay for part of what you're trying to do?
We're gonna knock on doors and we're gonna present what's going on and move them to a decision.
Okay.
But that's it. We're gonna door knock and we're gonna call, contact, cold call. Just go in the community and say, hey, we're this group, we're doing this in this school, and we'd like you to support the idea, and here's what you could be doing and how you could be involved. And
how much of that is showing them what you're showing the kids in the character part of it? Because I know that as business owners and stuff, they probably want to be able to have some idea of what you're presenting to these kids, that it does match with what they're looking for.
Yeah.
In character from...
Well, it would be a reflection of what the school is looking for to develop in along the lines of character in their students. So it wouldn't be our thing. It would be, here's what the principal of the school is trying to do. Here's what we're going to do in support of that in here. I mean, we're going to support good things, not bad things, and no principal's going to say we're going to teach our kids to be dishonest crooks, you know. So that's kind of a sit down. I mean, once we can get a conversation going with somebody, it, you know, that stuff will probably be covered. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Any other
questions?
I think,
our time is up. So.
Thank you. Can I pray?
Yes, you may.
All right. Let me pray and end our time. We've lost most of the people. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your word. Thank you for the gift that it is to us to give us a standard by which to judge our own behavior. Thank you for Dick's teaching in this class and how it leads us and directs us and encourages us and challenges us in our daily walk. And I just pray that as I move forward with this vision and with EPIC, that you would determine every step. I know in your word, I love the proverb that says it's okay for man to plan the steps, but you determine every one of them. So I pray as we plan that you would determine, that you would direct our steps and our thoughts are right, and that if this is a work that you would like to have me pursue and the EPIC engage in, that you would confirm that through a variety of ways. Thank you for each person in here. Bless their day today and be with them as they go. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you are, all that you've done, all that you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen.